panic attacks. Don't you just hate them? Hi guys, this is Ryan Light with BeatAnxiety.me, your host, where we will be going over the struggles of anxiety and learning how to heal the underlying causes. Hey guys, how you doing? This is Ryan Light, and I know it's been a little while since I've done a podcast, about a couple of weeks, and again, I'm going to try to really get persistent with this and consistent, finding time to do these podcasts for you. This week, I really want to focus my attention and really talk about something that I struggled with for a very, very long time, and that is panic attacks. And for those that have experienced panic attacks, you know how they come at us. And for those that you have never experienced a panic attack, let me tell you, you don't want to experience them. Let me first talk about how and when my first panic attack came about. I remember back in my late 20s, my first episode of having a panic attack. It was really my very first one, if I remember. If I can remember correctly, that I can put a name to it, and I could have put an emotion to it. It was in my late 20s, and I was living in Seattle at the time, and working at a Boeing, which is a large airplane manufacturing company, one of the largest in the world out of two of them. Anyway, I was new. My new career, I just got out of school. I was somewhat new to the area. I was new to this job. I was new to corporate life. I was new to just new beginnings about everything. And I had, I always kind of had this general anxiety about me, but the anxiety never really got to a point where it turned into panic. And as I started this new job, started this new career, I was having gas problems, stomach problems. So I had stomach issues that were coming up as just gas. I was just having gas, but the gas was getting caught in my chest, and I started having chest pains. And obviously when you struggle with anxiety, those things can go a bit crazy on us as we start to really think about and become hypersensitive to those areas in our life, especially, if you struggle with OCD, like I do. A lot of folks, what we call that extra sensitive parts of our body, a lot of us call that health anxiety. But it's an OCD tendency called sensory motor. So I didn't know this at the time that I struggled with that. I knew that I was very hyper focused on my body functions. And this time I remember having lunch, and it really made me gassy, and that gas got caught in my chest, and lo and behold, I thought I was having a heart attack, and that the thoughts turned into feelings turned into panic, and boom, panic attack just came out. And again, that was my first time really, really having one, and whoa, and wow. That first experience, it changed my perspective of those of us that struggle with anxiety and panic. And man, I just felt my heart just racing. I got dizzy. I got confused. I felt really out of place, kind of the surreal kind of feeling. And it stuck with me for a good long while, you know, good maybe 15, 20 minutes. That panic attack went on. And that was my first kind of intro into panic attacks. They kind of went away, and I would have one here and there and here. And then again, in my late 30s, if you guys don't know my age, I'm in my mid 40s now. And in my late 30s, I was working at Microsoft, and I was in, again, a stressful situation, stressful job, just had a new baby. It was my fourth kid. And really, the environment, the stress, everything was just coming at me at once. And I remember leaving the office one night and boom, man, panic attack just out of nowhere. Again, same type of feelings, same type of emotions, surreal type of feeling, heart pumping, dizzy, confused, couldn't breathe, shaking, convulsing, all those different emotions and feelings that we feel. However, this time, what happened was a little bit different than the first time. The first time it kind of came and went and I allowed it to kind of go away. And this time, I just felt like the panic attack just turned into another panic attack, which turned into another panic attack, which turned into another panic attack. And I was literally, that panic attack, now, this is crazy to sound, but I literally felt like I was having panic attacks all day long for a year straight. Literally a year straight, all day long. The rush of emotions and rush of feelings would come at me. I would feel panicky, really kind of disassociated with self, kind of like I'm in a dream state. A lot of folks in the anxiety world call that depersonalization. I was just feeling that emotion constantly for a year. And oh man, it's just brutal. So for those that struggle with panic, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Unfortunately, a lot of times, what happens is, and what was happening to me was it wasn't a specific place, or I was getting triggered from a specific event. It was just ongoing. And those panic attacks, just wouldn't stop. And again, they were typically coming at me, for us to struggle with this, we know that we get that depersonalization feeling, we get the convulsing, we get the shakes, we get the heavy breathing, we get the heartache, we get the confusion, we might get, a combination of those, we might get all of those. I experienced all those. And what happens a lot of times for us that struggle in this is we become what's called agoraphobic, and we don't want to leave the house because we get scared of the panic. So we start to fear the fear of having a panic attack, and so we stop kind of living life. And that's pretty much what happened to me. I went from home to work to home, from home to work, and from work to home. And I got caught in that rut where, interesting enough, even in those places, I didn't feel safe. I didn't get reprieve or I didn't get relief. My panic attacks would still come at me. A lot of folks that struggle with agoraphobia, or folks that struggle with panic attacks in particular situations or environments, if they don't go to those environments or they don't have those particular situations, the panic attacks won't come. For me, that's not what happened. I was having panic attacks all day long, everywhere, either at work or at home. It didn't really matter. And so I really had no reprieve. Some of that really was due to the obsessive thoughts that I was having over the panic attacks. So I got myself into a situation, into a place where I would constantly be waiting and fearing the next panic attack, then thereby caused another panic attack. So I was getting panicky over my panic. and man, that brought me to my knees. I remember at the just dealing with that continuously, not having a way out, not really, medication didn't work. I didn't want to pop Xanax or Klonopin to really help kind of curb that situation. Although those medications do help, I feel, and I do think that if we are using those to not face the fear, then we have a problem. To make a long story short, again, I struggled with that for about a year. And finally, I don't know what clicked in me to make a decision to start really confronting the issues, really confronting the panic. But what I started doing a lot differently is I started really thinking about the panic in a totally different way and started realizing that the manifestation of the panic probably had to deal with, not probably, it was dealing with something internal that I wasn't facing, whether that be trauma that I was hiding, lies that I was hiding, the mask I was putting on. I was just trying to be somebody and doing something that wasn't me. And I didn't really want to deal with the issues in my life. And so I suppressed those issues. And those issues, if you follow me on my social channels, you know I talk a lot about this. If we suppress those emotions and suppress those issues and traumas or whatever they might be, they are going to manifest themselves. And they will come out. And so my issues were surfacing themselves in panic. And so what I did was I started really getting real with myself. I really started healing those underlying issues related to why, right? The how or the reason or the outcome of those things were panic attacks. But when I started looking a little bit deeper and started working on those things a bit deeper than the panic, I discovered for myself that it was more related to the mask I was putting on, the front I was trying to put on, the lies that I was telling myself, and that suppression was now out, was now surfacing itself in panic attacks. So what I started doing is I started really focusing on those areas, and as I started really focusing on those areas, I started healing those different situations in my life, and I started learning different modalities or techniques to face the panic. That doesn't mean that the panic attacks just went away. That's not the way this works. But what I started doing is I started not really running from them, and I started really facing them. I remember one time that was kind of a pivotal point for me, is during one panic attack, I flipped a script on it, and I invited it in. And I said, all right, I'm not going to fight you. I started telling myself, I'm not going to fight you. Come on, let's do this. I can face you. I'm not going to be scared of you. And the panic attack lasted 30 seconds. And that was down from 30 minutes. And so, when I started doing it, I started learning different tools and techniques and different modalities to work with the panic rather than against it. And as you do that, and as you understand more about the reasons why the panic is there, and you start really working through those areas of your life, at least for me, what I found was the panic started to subside. And the velocity in which the panic would come at me and the veracity at which the panic would come at me really, really decreased. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm all well and done and I still don't get triggered and panic attacks still don't come at me, because that's a fallacy. That's one of the things in which I teach in my coaching, is I don't feel that we really ever overcome or really get rid of, overcome's not the correct word, really get rid of the anxiety in our life. What we do is we learn to look at it differently and learn to interact with it differently. And as we learn to interact with it differently, it loses its power against us. And that's exactly what happened to me with panic. And I still struggle with panic attacks. I still have panic attacks. For me, they typically hit me at night when I'm going to bed, because my mind starts going and my thoughts start really rumbling. And as my thoughts start going, it doesn't really allow me the opportunity to kind of change the way I'm thinking about it. I catch myself sometimes going in down the spiral around, especially when it comes to health, breathing or my heart rate or swallowing or even sleeping. Like sometimes I get scared to even sleep, like I'm not going to wake up. And that's really the fear talking, right? That's what happens, is panic attacks is really the fear talking. And when we can face that fear and confront it head on, the fear, what we do is we learn to work inside of the fear rather than against it. And as we learn to work with it, we can definitely change our perspective of it. So again, if you struggle with panic and you are really dealing with that emotion, I would really encourage you to first get real with why those things are happening. What fears are you not facing? What fronts are you putting on? What masks are you carrying? What issues are you not healing? What grudges, anger, whatever emotion you're not really dealing with. Learn and get real with those things, and then work with someone who can teach you how to work alongside the fear, and then work through the panic. And as you can do that, again, you can learn to change the velocity and change the veracity that it comes at us. So again, it can be done. If you do follow me, you know that I talk a lot about healing, and we can definitely heal these areas in our life. So, if you need any help, please reach out. I'd love to help you. Till next time, take care. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast today. Make sure to follow me on all the social media channels like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at beatanxiety.me. And then also make sure to check out my website, beatanxiety.me, for some great content on how we can overcome and heal anxiety in our life. Thanks so much. Take care now. Till next time. Bye. Hi, guys. Welcome to the episode 7 of the Beat Anxiety podcast. And today I want to talk about seasonal affective disorder. This is more of an unknown anxiety disorder, in which a lot of us that are affected by anxiety are affected by the changing of the seasons. I know for me, I'm not sure if it's really the seasons that change. I think for me, it's really the time change. When the time changes for me, specifically when the clocks go back and it gets darker at night, it seems as though I'm really affected with that time change. I can tell you, growing up, there was a time, and I still struggle with this, to be honest with you, but in between the hours of 5 and 7 p.m., I find myself really restless. And I remember as a kid, growing up, I would hear my stepdad come home, and we lived on the third floor of an apartment building, and I used to leave the door open so I can hear him come up the stairs. And he was paralyzed on one side. He had a stroke when he was in his early 30s, 38 actually, so mid late 30s. Him and my mom didn't get married till later, until he was 45, I believe. And he was my stepdad. And so he used to give me just so much. I used to be so nervous around him and so anxious around him that I used to leave the door open. I lived on the third floor of an apartment building in Queens, New York. And I used to leave my door open waiting for me to hear him come in. Sorry, I had to cough there. I waited for him to come in, and I would hear him. Since he was paralyzed on one side, it would go. So he'd go one step at a time. And there was 26 steps on each floor. We lived on the third floor. And I used to count. I used to have the door open. And he used to come home around 5:30. And I'd have the door open. I'd listen to him come in. And right around the 15th or 16th step of the second flight of stairs, I would go crawling or running into my room. I was just so deathly scared of him. Just his presence in my life was very, very not threatening per se. But you know, when you're 8 and 7, 8 years old, you know, just people seem so big, and episodes in which happen seem so astronomical. Him and my mother drank a lot, so they would typically come home right around 6 o'clock and start drinking. And so I remember I call it the witching hour, between the times of 5 and 7, it would be dark out. I'd want to crawl, and I'd really sit in my room, be bored, be anxious, be panicked. And, you know, this was back, I'm in my late 40s, though I am 47, so I guess I am getting late 40s, even though
the 40s are the new 20. So I always look at myself as maybe in my 20s. At least I feel like I'm in my 20s. Although the gray hair might come in differently. So, well, the gray hair might give you a different indication as far as my beard goes. But having said that, I've always struggled with that time change. I've always struggled since that time of being young, really around the 5 to 7 time frame when dusk and it started getting dark. I really didn't know, kind of for years, I really didn't grasp it. And I really didn't understand what was going on with me around that time. So I'm not sure if it's really seasonal affective disorder, so to say, although that is an anxiety struggle that a lot of us have. A lot of us struggle with the seasonal changes. I've found from summer into fall into winter, specifically fall into winter, when the days get longer, the days get shorter, but the nights get longer, so to say. A lot of folks that struggle with seasonal affective disorder, that's really when they hit them. And I'd love to get comments on this because I'm not really sure if it's the time change that affects people or it's the actual seasons that affect people. I mean, I know for me, as I dug into this over the last couple of years of me healing through my own issues, I've really found the root cause of my the anxiety that would hit me around this time. Knowing that this comes at me around this time, what I started doing is I started really being mindful of the time, right? Because I'd want to check out. I have a wife and kids, and I used to, early in our marriage, used to want to check out at that time, go listen to music, go do something. I always felt like I had to keep busy because I didn't want to feel that anxious feeling or that panic feeling. So I always felt that I had to be busy during this time. And, you know, if you've married and have kids, you know, from 5 to 7, it's homework, it's dinner, it's getting ready for the next day, it's all those things. And so I spent a lot of my time preoccupied being scared of my feelings and being scared of my emotions. And I really want to feel those things in which I was struggling with, although I was feeling them, right? So it wasn't as though I was not having those anxious thoughts and that anxiousness in my body. I was just trying to flee from it, hide it, run away from it, ignore it, you know, kind of like we all do when we're struggling with what we struggle with, specifically if it entails just anxiousness or panic for that matter. We always want to try to deflect it, and that's not the key. That's not how we get over these things. It's facing those things and healing the underlying issues that are causing these emotions that we need to go through and work out. So earlier in my marriage, I would kind of check out. And now what I've started doing is I started really being mindful of that time frame and being, being more directive in what I do during that time. So I would, instead of fleeing from it, right, and trying to ignore it, I would lean into it, so to say. I would lean into it by doing something positive, maybe spending some time with the kids or reading a positive book or doing a specific task during that time that was not really fleeing from it. What I really had to learn is to kind of sit with the emotion, allow it to kind of run its course, do its thing, and then, but live life accordingly, right? I always tell people that and we have to live life in spite of our emotions, in spite of our feelings. Feelings always come after action. So if you're looking for a specific feeling, you got to do the action first. And so if I wanted to feel better, I had to do something to feel better. And one of the things in which a lot of us that struggle with anxiety is we're scared of the emotion and we get scared of the feeling. And that's not really how you overcome this stuff. You got to face it and lean into it and get to a point where you're embracing it, so to say. I always talk about the process in which I lead people I coach through, which is really an acknowledgement and acceptance, a discovery and embracing different phases. And as you get into the embracing phase, you learn that a lot of the stuff that we've gone through has become part of us, and you learn to look at the anxiety and treat it differently. That's what I coach, that's what I teach, and I think that if you can do that properly, you can overcome these issues a lot quicker and with a good mindset, so to say. So anyway, I just wanted to get folks' kind of view on this. I'm not sure if it's really a time change that a lot of us struggle with, or if it's really a seasonal change from cold to cold. Well, fall. I live down here in Atlanta, Georgia, USA, and we didn't really have a winter, to be honest with you. We went straight from 85 degrees. Well, let me give you, for instance, last week I was in South Carolina at a graduation. My son was graduating from Army Basic. We literally, that day, it was a Thursday, the morning it was 85 degrees. By the time we got home, it was 30 degrees. So the time, the climate change and the change of season, or the change of temperature was just, it was, I mean, that was 30, 40 degrees in one day. So we really didn't get a fall here. So again, I'm kind of struggling with this. I know my witching hour. I know what it is. What's interesting about this is I don't get this emotion during other time frames, other seasons. Spring, I don't get this restlessness. Summer, I definitely don't get the restlessness. Fall, it kind of starts. And then winter is just full force, man. Just from 5 to 7 is my worst time. So anyway, love to get your feedback. Love to get your comments on this. If you can comment on, you know, do you believe it's seasonal? Do you believe it's the time of change? The time change, should I say? Love to get your feedback. Thanks, guys. Look forward to hearing from you. Take care now. Hey guys, today's episode number 7, and we'll be discussing seasonal affective disorder, or is it time change?